It's 6 p.m. and I'll turn it over to Tom here. Let's just go around the table and take a roll.
We are a Public Safety Advisory Committee, or board in the session. I'm Tom Friedland. I'm vice chair, acting chair tonight.
Grant Oakes, board member.
Mike Francis, Westland Police.
I'm Bob Martin, City Council. I'll be the new council liaison.
I thought you were labeled as alternate.
On
the email that came out today, it said you were the alternate.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, Brenda called me. I had said I really wanted to come to these.
Yeah.
I thought we had somebody, not me. And I said, well, can I just come? And they said, okay. And then Brenda called today and said,
you're going.
Well, she said, yeah, I'm going to do some other things. Do you mind picking this up? And I said, I'm delighted to. So, I guess, okay, I'm the alternate.
I don't know. I'm just saying what the email said that came out.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Well, thank you.
Anytime.
I'll be here.
Good.
I'll be here listening.
Okay, first meeting, you have to buy beer afterwards.
Do it. I'll always do that.
And I'm Christine Steele, PSAB member.
David Baker, board member.
Dennis Ritchie, board member.
Chuck was not able to make it. He's got a close friend that's having surgery down in Southern California. I think it was Southern California. And needed to be down there today, so he asked if I could fill in. Under old business, we've got any update on the Map Your Neighborhood program?
See, point of order. Before we move ahead with that, I'd like to amend the agenda. And I move to amend tonight's agenda to include in the new business section a discussion about the explosive disposal training that was held here on January 19th.
I didn't hear what you said, and I'm sorry, it's my ears. What training?
So there was an explosive disposal training that occurred here at the police station on the 19th.
Okay.
And that was after the date for putting on the agenda, so.
Okay. Well, have an objection to that, anybody?
Right. Well, I think it's a good thing to discuss because we're hearing about it.
So, in regards to Map Your Neighborhood, do you have any update on our status?
I have the final financial report with all the receipts here. It came down to using the full grant. And actually, we went over the grant by about $3, which I think I can afford since I also paid for all the gas running around to get all this stuff. And don't mind that a bit. But anyhow, for the record, it's here. We can pass it around. You can look at it. And after we adjourn, the bucket thing is open. I wasn't sure whether it was going to be or not because I've got the last of all the gauze. God, there was a pain trying to get all the gauze. Anyhow, all items are in here. You can go through it and look at what the final bucket looks like. And we came out with 13 items in it that are all good starter items. Some of them are very helpful. I think the most helpful thing in there is the first aid brochure that's laminated and will last forever. And I want to thank Christine. She printed up all the water treatment, two sides, beautiful, and also got the bags to put them in. So on the accounting, $9.90. And then $25 actually, I was reimbursed for the total amount, and I have now paid her the $35 for what she spent.
Is that all noted in there?
Huh?
Is that all noted in there?
It should be.
Yeah. And I
and details, I think it is, but I've been having a series of mini strokes and having a lot of trouble, and it turns out my problems have gone back to late August. And some erratic behavior and some things that wasn't normally the type of thing that I do. And so I had doctor's exams and had some tests today, and I hope I'll be able to continue as a member of this group, but I plan on being here at this point. So,
was there anything outside of your $3 that was not reimbursed either to you or whoever was involved in it?
No, everything is right on the money.
Okay.
The Rotary spent some money printing labels. These labels that I didn't know they were going to do, and so I hadn't taken that into account, and so I had to do some shucking and jiving on the cost of the last item, the gauze that we were trying to get. And the funny thing about that was I ordered it three times through Walmart, and you think a company as big as Walmart could handle that, and each time it never came through. So I ended up buying some here, and finally I ended up going to the dollar store and getting most of it there and going around to $3 stores and getting enough to fill out the buckets. But and the most positive note of it all was we had high school students here. They came, Sonny Olson works with them as a counselor at the high school. It's a service group. And we had a bunch of girls here that came in, and it was like a cyclone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just getting things in those buckets, and I'm like, hold it. Then by the time I checked, they'd done the quality exams, and everything was fine, you know. And I was
you get that old man out of the way and let him work.
That's kind of the way it was, actually. And Terry came in and joined us for a little bit, and. I introduced him, and the girls really thought that was a good deal. You know,
good.
They liked that. So,
well, good job on that.
We have now 100 buckets.
We have given out a bunch of buckets, and we've got a lot more to give out. I think I've gotten a dozen out, and you gave me some names. My computer was invaded, and I still don't have my email back. I can get email on my.
Let me see if I can find a copy of that again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we need, and I think what I'm going to do is write a letter to the editor in the tidings and put out the word that, hey, if you've done the workshop, let me know so we can get the buckets to you. And Stradley said that it was fine with him to work out with an officer on a ride along, and so I'm going to
pass them out.
Go out with the police and pass them out, or he said even the officers could do it on their regular patrol. So,
roughly how many then do we have left moving forward?
About 86.
Okay.
And but some of those are all committed.
Okay. And how are we set on presentations coming up?
We don't have anything yet.
We don't have it yet, but we have a lot of people trying to get dates. With the Lutheran Church on Highway 43 in Jolly Point, they would love to have a major a demonstration or workshop there. We have a school, a preschool, that they want it for their PTA. There are numbers of homeowners associations that are on my list that I said, hey, you know, I'm available here, here, and here, and nobody's gotten back to me up with those dates.
Okay.
I want to do a general one, or we do a general one. I, Grant and I are inclusive.
It's a generic.
It's a generic.
Royal.
At any rate, we have a request to do another general one that people are asking, people that went to the last one, that if we do another one.
Yeah, I had a query. Somebody wondered if we were going to have another one of those so they could come. So obviously,
yeah. You can. And we'll find out what's available in maybe,
okay. Maybe I can mid
to later February. We'll check on dates. And I'd like to either do it here or at the library. And the library is really booked up because the senior center still isn't back online. They won't be ready until March, I think. So.
So I'm sorry, I was writing when you were talking before, but when you say general, you mean general training for leaders? meetings?
Introductory thing that we do.
Introductory for the people who are going to go back to their neighborhood and hold them. And on our city council now, Mr. Martin's the only one, or Councilor Martin is the only one that hasn't done a training yet, so.
In your neighborhood, so.
And you're actually in my neighborhood. You're just not far from me, so I'd love to go do it with you, so.
That'd be great.
If you're interested.
Sure.
In inviting your neighbors in.
I thought we had the open house up at the church. I remember looking and I thought my neighborhood was pretty covered, but I'm surprised, but yeah, let's do it.
And.
What do you mean by covered?
Well, I mean, there was, I thought they'd already done it.
Well, that was an introductory, we did that too, at the church when we did that.
Yeah.
And that supposedly is to induce people to come to a meeting similar to that where we can spend more time with them and show them how to get their neighbors put together and stuff like that. It takes people a while to.
Yes, and getting the dates where you can get your neighbors together has been difficult for a lot of them. That's just natural when you're trying to get as many people together as you can, you know, so.
End of the year is bad because of holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like the beginning of the year, getting your feet wet and moving forward again.
Yeah, late February and March are good, but I'm going to be gone a lot during that time.
Well, I'm not going out of town right now. I should be here, so just let me know.
Well, we can talk about that after the meeting.
So we should reasonably expect to see at least a few tentative dates by next meeting for classes or sessions.
I would hope so. Well, what I was hoping to get them nailed down this week.
What kind of nights are you looking at?
What
kind of nights are you looking at? Anything we can get kind of a thing? Or is it?
I'd really like to do either Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because you get the best turnouts.
Right.
Friday is a no-go and Monday people forget.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday are the best and also the most difficult to get.
I think we covered both the two items of old business, but is there anything else regarding Map Your Neighborhood or what's in your bucket that we haven't discussed or need to?
You know, I think most of it has been ironed out. There was some problems coordinating the stuff with Rotary, and it all came down to I was told to get the Rotary grant that it would be real easy, and I wasn't told that the person that was in charge of that part in helping me wasn't aware of all the intricacies, and we finally got it worked out. But there were some hard feelings there for a while because they took the $1,000 or $1,500 from the police fund, and then they acted as if it was their money that they were dispersing. And I think Terry made a phone call, and suddenly they were more cooperative. So
hopefully we won't run into problems with this again.
No, that's all done. That's all taken care of. And you know, it's really been a learning experience for me. I thought it would be easy. You know, we'll identify what we want, we'll get it, we'll have it ready. Not.
You know, I do think that we have that map, and we were able to fill in some of the neighborhoods at the fair, at the preparedness there. But it's still not an exact science there as far as keeping that map up to date. And if we can come up with maybe just increased awareness whenever we hear of a meeting being held. I think follow-up is something that maybe now that we've got the program on autopilot a little bit, we've got the buckets all ready to go, maybe we can get out front a little bit as meetings are held this spring and summer. Make sure that we are aware of who held the meeting. Maybe even give them the bucket once their meeting is scheduled rather than...
And that's kind of where I'm coming from. We better find an easier way to get the buckets out to the right people.
Right.
And that brings up another point. I've had a call in to Mr. Otterman. It was my understanding that it was okayed for Grant and I to come and present the buckets to the, and then it was only four counselors, or three counselors and the mayor, that had all done their neighborhood meetings.
Right.
And we were going to do that and get a little bit of PR out of it at the same time, and we need all the PR we can to let people know that this program is out here and it's effective and it's available. I've not heard back at all. Have you heard anything about the date? So I called again today. And
would you talk to, or did you get to talk to anybody?
Today, I left a message on Mr. Otterman's.
Isn't he on a leave of absence for a knee surgery?
Medical leave,
yeah.
Is he? No wonder he didn't call back.
Yeah, I think we need to be contacting Kirsten.
Yeah, she's in charge, but I would assume she somehow checking his messages, or he's, you know, he's probably checking from home. But it wouldn't hurt to call Kirsten as well.
Yeah, well, I'll just go at it from a different angle tomorrow.
When you do this outreach to neighborhoods, do you just wait for somebody to get interested and volunteer to do their neighbors, or
well,
how do you do that?
What we do is advertise the workshops, and that basically was what we were doing at that fair, was advertising the workshops. And we did two brief sessions just telling them basically what the workshops are like and giving them kind of a mini boost, sort of like a trailer in a movie, just to get them interested in it. And then we've had pretty good attendance. The last one I had at the library, weren't sure how it was going to be attended, but it turned out that there were close to 30 people, and they were all really enthusiastic, and I didn't totally screw up the TV while I was doing the presentation, so.
And that was advertised through the West Lynn, the email that comes out on Wednesdays?
No, that one. Oh, yes.
Because the
yes,
library
it was.
Did
and,
kind
and,
of advertise.
And they had the time. Different on different things.
They got it wrong,
and so some people showed up at 6:30 and some people showed up at 7:00. And so I had to halfway start to keep them interested, then start the main body of them. You know,
just to give you a little, you're probably not familiar with the program at all, are you?
Well, a little bit. I'm talking to Christine about it, but please.
Yeah. So what happens is we recruit somebody to lead the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. So we would recruit you, Denny would recruit you to do it in the and then help you with your questions and things like that. But you would be responsible for setting the date with the people, getting everybody out, having it at your house or somebody's house, something like that, and then running the program. It takes about 2 hours to run through it, and it's self-taught.
Self-guided.
You just, once you start the TV program and everybody's got a booklet in their hand, you just sort of sit there and let it happen, shut it off when it says shut it off, talk, shut it back on, and go.
Now, are you doing this through the neighborhood associations?
Any way
some
we
neighborhood
can.
Associations have had us come and talk to them, and we're going to start pushing other neighborhood associations to do it.
But your goal is to reach everybody in Westland.
Our goal is to reach as many people as we possibly can, and it's an ongoing thing. We've been at it for 2.5 years now.
Longer than that.
Three.
Yeah.
And it
longer
wasn't until just lately that it came really caught on fire.
Term of the
more than that. You know, just throw this out. Maybe it's useful, maybe it didn't. But, you know, there's software available now that people who are running for office use. And what it allows you to do is take a list of people. Like, we could take probably the voting list for us, and then that would cover 15,000. Probably cover a lot more of the population. And then it maps that into the sort of the map. So you get a map you can zoom in on, and then you can just draw a little circle around an area, you know, and then it'll give you a list of all the people and addresses in that little area. So you can take Westland, carve it up into these little lists, these sublists, And then you could kind of systematically work through those. And if I were doing what you're doing, I'd look through the list and maybe try to contact, find somebody in there who'd host, and then go from that.
That was kind of a future goal, because right now it's kind of scattershot, but we want to get all those people that we've trained in the workshops to get their things done, and then fill in our map and find out where the areas are that haven't been reached. You know, right now we've got people, a lot of people out there that want to do the workshops, but either that they have done them and they haven't followed through, which happens a lot.
You don't hear about it. They've done it, but you don't know.
Say probably 75% of them go ahead and do it, then they're self-contained and they don't let us know unless they need something. We want to find out, and that's why the buckets came to bear. It was supposed to be our carrot for the tracking program.
Well, if this sort of software seems helpful, I'll be happy to show you how to use it, introduce you to it.
Thanks. When we get to that point, I'm sure it would be very valuable. Right now, we've got some homework to do.
Are you keeping a database of all the people who you have contacted, if you have buckets? So you have
all the buckets that have been given out, I've got a list.
Okay. So you could, if you wanted to, for instance, take that list and create a map that shows you where all those people live.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have that.
We've got
a map where we've blocked in all the neighborhoods that have done. At least that we've been advised that have done it.
Okay.
And so you can see on the map where it is. That was the whole idea, the map, your neighborhood, to have this big map of the city.
Oh, right.
And highlight all these in.
And last
by hand to create,
Now, as far as creating maps are concerned for people that want to do, generally speaking, I've been creating a map for these people off the city's big map, because it's a PDF and you can narrow right and down. It's when you run the program, it's partly geography, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to have a close association of neighbors do this. You don't need one over here and one over here and one over here and one over here, because it's not effective the way the program is set up to work. The program is set up to work for 12 to 20 neighbors in close association. Otherwise, the people you see when you look out your front door.
Right. That's where I thought, geographically was where you go.
And then, of course, in West Lynn, because we're laid out so nice and square.
Believe me, I know.
To try and combine some of these things geographically gets to be a real challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what we've been able to do is I make a map so that the person's... Initially, when we started this, I'd sit down with them, we'd talk about it, and I said, okay, where's your neighborhood? And I have a broad map. And I said, well, tell me what you think. And then I'd sit, go home and print one out for them. And a map goes in each one of these booklets that's handed out. And so it identifies for everybody who's in the process. And I had a pretty good handle on it for quite a while. Well, then all of a sudden, people started doing it after one of the fairs, and I never heard anything back.
Right.
They took the material and they went.
Well, when we had a workshop, a leadership training at my house, I passed out brochures from the city on how to use the city's map optics program so that the leaders could do what you've been doing for people. Because since Lance took over as public utilities director, he told his, Kathy Aha and his staff that he wanted a do-it-yourself kind of thing, that the public would have access to the map program. So it's really pretty doable people are more and more sophisticated these days about going into map optics and narrowing down and zeroing in on their own neighborhood and printing those out. So it could be people are doing self-service.
Yeah, so what that's taken away is that taken away the way we were able to track on it, because we were doing it for them. Well, we want them to do it however they do it.
Right.
The whole idea is that the more the merrier. If we lose track of everybody and we get it all done, great. But we'd like to keep track of it. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of dovetailing into one of the new business items, which addressed social media, or essentially promotion for Map Your Neighborhood. I am not a social media person, so I am speaking from ignorance on how that would be used. But is there ways we can use some other systems to promote the concept.
Okay, have been using them. We've got that neighborhood program, the 11
next,
neighborhoods.
Yeah.
The
next door.
And I've posted information on that more than once.
Yeah, next door.
Next door.
Matter of fact, when we did the workshop here at the police station, one of the first publicly advertised ones, we had 27, 28 people, including the mayor and his wife. And out of that, about 20 of them got it off the Nextdoor website.
Okay.
And that just floored us because we hardly knew anything about it.
So if we set up a general workshop for people to come that are interested, we would post that. Once we had the schedule, we would post that on Nextdoor, and that would hopefully draw people in like we did last.
Are there other social media that we're overlooking?
Let's ask David. David Baker, who's the youngest and newest member here. And I'll bet you're more tuned into social media than we are.
Oh, come on.
Well, social media can be really effective. And when I was thinking about this item, I was thinking more lines in terms of like what kind of content are we going to be developing this year in terms of getting people interested in Map Your Neighborhood. And the mission of Map Your Neighborhood is preparedness. And so maybe we can look at the Map Your Neighborhood program and slice it into bits. So for example, locate where your gas meter is and make sure you have the tool to shut it off in the event. And just have that kind of like little vignette about that one aspect of the program. Slicing it into little pieces, I think, makes it accessible. And one of the challenges too, especially on my street, is there's a lot of young families, and to get them to commit for 90 minutes is extremely difficult. But they're on social media, so if we can leverage that, whether we create a little video that demonstrates some of the principles of Map Your Neighborhood, or pushing out a like an e-flyer, there's lots of different things we can do this year to really kind of advance our Map Your Neighborhood goals.
So are you talking about, when you're talking about the little snippets of just do this one step kind of a
thing? The 9 steps that are in there.
Would that be on the city's Map Your Neighborhood website? Do we need to like improve that and then promote it?
Well, I think we can use all the digital assets that we have, whether it's the police station's Facebook page or the city's Facebook page. Maybe we have our own Facebook page. Just kind of having this like interlocking group of Facebook pages will help kind of push our message out. There may be some overlap, but from my experience with marketing, repetition is key.
Yeah.
So there are already established vignettes or YouTubes that would address the items you're talking about.
Oh, there's YouTube.
Yeah, I know. That's
multiple
what I'm
ones out
if,
there
if,
available.
If there are about the 4 or 5,
or need to, if it's public domain.
All right. The one the Tiger has is broken into the 9 steps. Nine steps, and you can take each step at a time off of that one. So,
and for Bob's benefit, we take the program a little farther than just the 9 steps. Our discussion started out, with okay, what are we going to do about this and this and this, and so a lot of it is afterward. Okay, we've got this organization done. You know what to do during the earthquake. You know what to do in the 90 minutes after the earthquake. But what do you have to know for long-term survival? Because if we have a 9.2 or a 9.4, it's going to be months. And people are really going to be desperate for water, for example. So we talk about preparation. How do you collect water? How do you treat water? We did some of that with the bucket starter kits. And then they get down to, what do you do with the bodies? Everybody gets quiet. So, we really get into a lot of different things afterwards, not just the Map Your Neighborhood program.
How do we implement David's concept? What resources we have to put that in place in terms of using any of the social media or being able to develop it? Because, I'm not the one to try and design that.
Well, the nice thing is the infrastructure is already in place. Police Department has an excellent Facebook page, and that would be, in my mind, a great place to start with this. I think what the board can do that would be helpful is to think of some ideas for content. You know, mm-hmm. Think of, like, some specific ideas for posts.
So
feed that way.
Perhaps that's something we should put as an item to do between now and our next meeting, is come up with one or two items that we think are key or important beyond the 9 ones that you've already identified, and see how we can incorporate that into either existing Facebook or social media.
Well, the newsletter that the city puts out could just as easily have once the first step as an intro to people. They may, those that read that.
And can we do a hot link or something like that into
sure,
that
why not?
Existing newsletter?
Yeah.
So we need to be able to make...
So we need to have
we need
infrastructure
to
set up and then start pulling people into it.
We need to identify these illustrations. You said Tigard has it available if they give us permission to access it.
No, it's open source.
Okay.
Yeah.
So could we ask Mike, who maintains the police Facebook page? Who would be posting to it? You?
Are we dumping in your lap?
No.
I'd
no,
be
no.
interested in a comment from you.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the maintenance on it, how difficult is any of this we're talking about?
I mean, I agree with David. I think, you know, the whole key to anything in social media is content. If you don't have content, nobody's going to go to your, and you're going to lose likes. You know, there's already a tendency, and I've talked with people in other agencies who do this. There's already a little bit of a, you get people who will drop off. Okay. So you lose that audience, but it's all about trying to create more content to capture more audience to get your message out. So I think, personally, listening to that, I think the best thing that we can start on right now is just, you don't need to have a ton of infrastructure behind it. It's just the infrastructure is the content, mm-hmm. is creating it. I like the idea of creating something that's a little more new, kind of from a different perspective here. And I like the idea of having, you know, the Map Your Neighborhood for West Lynn have its own social media presence that we can cross market to, because between the city, between us, I mean, it's not a ton, but we can pick up probably, let's say, 1,000 right off the bat if we can push out some good content and get people over there. I think there's a little more likelihood with the type of content that I've seen out there that you'll be able to capture more. So in a way, this would be kind of beneficial to the police department, because that cross-marketing works the other way for us as well. So being able to get that out there. And then it's just a matter of, you know, from a maintenance standpoint, I follow a ton of different agencies, and when I see something that pops up that I like, I'll either steal it, just blatantly steal it. Especially if it's on the East Coast or whatever, because we're not getting the same kind of stuff. Or I'll retweet them and I'll give them, because, or, you know, repost it, because in turn what that does is it presents their information for us, but it also gives them the opportunity to pick up other information. And it's really, in the public safety realm, it's all about, everybody's got the same general level of message, is making sure that people are safe, regardless if it's fire, earthquake, criminal activity, whatever the case is. That's kind of the general purpose behind it. So we can cross-platform those and then cross-market to each other. We can build that up. And you can very quickly, I had an SRO account. I've turned it into a sergeant account. I haven't been able to maintain that quite as well as I want, because I've been so kind of bloody into the Facebook side. But I will constantly retweet and repost things that I post on one over to the other, and it makes it look like that I've got new content that I'm putting out there. It's one piece of content, but it's split out into two now, and it builds things that way. So I agree with David. I think getting the Map Your Neighborhood program with its own social media presence, and then you'd create your content for that, and then we'll pass it out, because then that in turn will hopefully pick you guys up.
So So by social media presence, you mean our own Facebook page?
Facebook, Twitter. I think, quite honestly, you guys do the public safety fairs. I think I would be active on Instagram. I'd be active on Vine. Because it's very easy for you to be able to do something very simple. You know, very simple. In terms of content, written word gets you next to nothing. Pictures, videos, that's where it's all at. People, I can look at my own posts, and I will see probably 100-to-1 reaction to a post that has a picture in it as opposed to a post that's just writing. So it's you guys have these public safety events. It's really simple for everybody to just take out their phone, pop a couple pictures. You can either text them to whoever is doing the maintenance on your or your MYN. You guys can do it because it's really, really simple. And you just, hey, we're at this public safety fair. We do a couple of hashtags. You know, you can agree on what your hashtag is going to be for this event. And the hashtags are what kind of allow people to kind of follow it, and you can kind of track trends that way. So I think that's how I would see this going. And get yourself out on all three of those, and we'll kind of build it and push it that way. So,
David, did you understand what he said? Can you do any of that?
I do. Yeah. I can be helpful.
Can you maybe create a couple of these things he's talking about as far as the more common ones? Because he lost me after he said, you know, Facebook and Twitter. And the only reason for that is that I've got a 20-year-old daughter who is familiar with that. And the rest of it, over my head.
I've created a Facebook page for Map Your Neighborhood just to kind of test it out.
Okay.
For us, and maybe in the next meeting we can bring a laptop in, we can put it up on the screen,
Absolutely.
We can just kind of go through it, but
okay.
I think your suggestion of maybe next meeting having a couple suggestions for content would be helpful, and maybe making that kind of an ongoing exercise.
What are the 9 things that you said are already available?
The 9 steps.
If you can give a list of those.
Well, they're in the book, and there's no reason why we couldn't lift out of that video. That presentation of the first step, to use it as a teaser to pull people in.
Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to try and find points beyond those 9 points, it'd be nice to know what the 9 points are so we can build
on
it.
I think for clarity's sake and to keep this thing what it's supposed to be, we use those 9 points. We don't want to vary that. After a meeting, people will do that on their own. They'll take the ball and run from that. We just want to get people together so that when something happens, at least they've got a foundation underneath them to take care of themselves and their neighbors, things like that.
So,
but when you get people together, it's been my experience in being in on a couple, 3 meetings like that, people take the ball because somebody will raise a problem that I've never thought about or that he's never thought about. Well, what do we do about, like this one lady, she said, I'm diabetic, what am I going to do? She says, I have to have my medicine, and I can only keep it for a certain amount of time, refrigeration. And she won't do it. And the other guy says, I've got a portable generator and refrigerator. We should take care. So that's what happens. Once you get them into the program,
you sort of get back out of the way and let them run. So we've got at least an idea of where we want to take a look at it next meeting.
Yeah.
Another example would be, you know, as soon as you say, we will have no plumbing, all the women are going, oh, my God. You know, so you could have a very simple do-it-yourself outhouse, how to build
There's
a
the bucket right there.
How to build a how to build a outdoor commode, you know.
But
that's breakdown which David was talking about earlier, but I think that's different from you talking about the 9 basic steps
different.
In the program.
Right.
So that's the kind of content discussion we need to have.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, David, but I think what you do is you take those 9 steps and you break each step into little pieces, and now you have content that you can push out.
And then what we call it emergency preparedness. And then the neighborhood part of the program is a part of that.
You can do any number of things.
Yeah, I think the key is breaking those 9 steps into accessible chunks, but also, to your point, making it entertaining. You know, we're doing education here, but we need to make it so people are like, oh, wow, there's another poster from them. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
I just wonder, what percentage of the Western population do you reach right now through Facebook?
Well, as far as, like, what we call likes on the page, there's only 1,188 likes on that one. There's a little over 3,000 on Twitter. in terms of how much population reach do we get, I can tell you that this most recent post that I had about the high school kid who we helped him ask him down on a date, we're up to almost 7,000, you know, post views on that. Well, that far exceeds the amount of number of people that we have liking the page. So I know that through the high school, everybody in the high school has seen the video. I can tell you that there's only a handful of kids at the high school who are here. So it's harder to peg the reach to just this area. I know what our reach is. Our reach on average is anywhere per post, right around 300 to 400 people per post that we see it, regardless of it. Bigger things, we get way out there. But it's the word of mouth. And a lot of people are hesitant, I've found, to like a police department webpage for whatever reason. Perhaps they think we can track
them. Then all their friends thought of them liking you.
I don't like anything.
For us, the biggest advantage of the Facebook, of those, is we do get a very localized way of pushing information out. And if you notice, the type of content, although I'm trying to steer to put more serious content on there, but the type of content we put on there is kind of light, very fun, with some positive messaging behind it or some action messaging behind it. I'm trying to push it more towards, too, where we can include things like when we're looking for a bad guy. I had the Vincent Yanella case with a guy that was broken into a car up here. It was a total boon to do that. It's just getting past some of the gateways of older thoughts of doing things to try and do it and make sure that certain people are comfortable with that. Full support from the admin here. It's not so much that, it's just some of the officers who aren't as attuned to using social media for that aspect of it, getting them used to that idea. So it's a very big help. In fact, we've almost gone away from doing press releases because the media follows every single one of our outlets. Every single media outlet in Portland follows our feed. Mm-hmm. So when they see something that they want to find out more information on, then they go in and they explore it, then they call me or they call Sergeant Kippis, and we can flesh out the details more. So in that way, it's a little bit more of a time saver too, because we're not having to author as many press releases, and there are some things that just don't need to be press releases.
You know, my concern is we've got the demographics, and we've got quite a few people over 50.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you just respect people's apathy and you say, well, okay, if you don't care, that's fine, we'll do it. But here, you want to reach it, because if they're not prepared, they're going to be a problem for the people who are prepared.
Exactly.
And those younger people may not be the head of their household.
Well, I didn't say anybody younger.
I'm assuming younger.
When I was talking about demographics, I meant the older people.
How old?
Well,
over 50, you're probably not going to Facebook.
I was going somewhere with what I started to say, and that is that there's a middle ground too, and that is the website. I mean, there's a Map Your Neighborhood presence on the city's website. Are we going to try to maintain that, or
I think we have to keep all of them current.
Yeah,
I don't keep that ball up in the air too.
We're gonna,
and I don't.
That and even some conventional promotion.
Yeah, I don't think we want to mistake that. You know, the social media aspect is a supplemental avenue to get your message out. I mean, you want to go through as many different channels as you possibly can, whether that's doing it through the monthly mailing that goes out,
whether that's through email, whether it's through your Facebook page, whether it's through using Westland Tidings. You know, this is just one channel to get your message out. So it doesn't replace anything. But I think it's the type of thing that because of its nature, requires a little more, not necessarily more planning, but it requires some thought process into how, what's the best way to capture people's interest, to bring them here, to introduce them over here to your main content source, which is your traditional sources of information that are getting out.
Yeah, so you refer to the all the other things in each one of those.
Yeah, all, you know, brief, you know, okay, so you have a Facebook page, you have all these different avenues, all the different avenues that you're going in the social media aspect, feedback to Facebook. The Facebook has a prominent place to click to email somebody, has contact information, has a link to your website that has all the rest of your content. Mm-hmm. So you're not robbing one over here to get this. It's all in support of getting the information. Mm-hmm. So
I think we've beaten that subject. David, you added the explosive disposal training. Seems like a good transition at this point. What did you have from that?
Well, I was hoping to learn a little bit more about the event and what the training was all about.
Sure. So so for the we had Metro Explosive Disposal Unit out to talk with officers about responding to bomb calls, not just a place where there is a bomb, but you know, responding to bomb threats and how to approach those scenes and those type of cases from an officer level. Most of the guys who were there hadn't had explosives disposal training or bomb response training for years, and so it brought us an opportunity to bring in agencies from around the area to go through that training with us. So, and that's what it was. It ended with a demonstration of a couple of different items that are used to disable explosives, more or less just to so that way people would have an understanding and respect for how little explosives, even you know the type that we were dealing with, very controlled, how much power is behind those. And so I'm the one that dropped the ball and putting it out to the Facebook right before they kicked it off. I will say we did go door-to-door to the neighbors and we dropped off flyers. But it's still my fault. I was managing doing classes and I take full responsibility from that aspect of it. So I took a little bit of a beating on that. So social media works with you and works against you sometimes. So
did you use other avenues besides door-to-door pamphleting and Facebook to warn people?
You know, I kind of came into this kind of late, so I know that those are the two main preparations that took place. I could go into a lot of different things. It was a lot louder, I think, than everybody was, because you had overcast the layout of where the demonstration took place. Everything kind of amplifies down in here, so you live and learn.
Positive though, I saw the video on the next door thing. And there wasn't a really negative. Some people said it'd be nice if we'd known it.
A little bit of warning, right. Yeah, exactly.
But there was nothing really negative.
No. It was mostly just, you know, I knew as soon as I passed, like, oh my goodness, this is just, I know where this is going. This is going to head up to, there's going to be a lot of phone calls made, but but we were good.
Wake a few people up.
So that's what it was all about, David. That was the whole thing. Yeah, we weren't learning how to dispose of bombs. We're learning to, you know, how you're going to respond to those types of calls.
So there was a little bit of concern in the neighborhood about lack of notice, and I heard from some people that were concerned. You know, we're living in an age where people are concerned about terrorism.
Oh yeah.
So when they hear things that sound like gunshots or explosives, and they don't know, that can be really alarming.
Yeah.
And I think I think using Facebook and those methods are great, but I think it would also be helpful maybe to have contact with City Hall so the city manager knows or council knows that, hey, you know, in 30 days or in 7 days, we're going to have some training at the police station.
Absolutely.
Might also help too to have kind of like sandwich boards kind of at the intersection, say there's a drill in progress. I don't know if that would alarm people or not, but at least because we're right next to this really important business district, we're going to have people that may not live in Westland that would have access to Facebook, but at least they would know.
It sounds like you learned a lot of what you've been done.
It's doing these kind of trainings, it's always the other consideration we have. And so it's a matter of, it's just a matter of positioning your messaging. You know, I dropped the ball on that. But the one other, the flip side of that is we don't want to have it out too much to where people, then we get people who are looky-loos and come by. Because then it becomes too expansive for us to try and control an area for a small demonstration like that. So message received. We'll do a better job next time.
So next time, set it off and don't say anything. We can pass out material about making the neighborhood safe.
Yeah, that would not go.
Where are we as far as our membership? We've got David as a new appointee.
Yeah. There was...
We had 5, 6 with Chuck. We must have 7, right?
We had one person that came to his first meeting and never came back.
Yeah,
and so we are at 6 at the moment.
We're at 6, and according to the rules given us by the city council originally, they should not be considered a member anymore, but we have to take the official vote among us to say, okay, this person's no longer a member.
I thought that was part of the bylaws now. If you don't attend 3 meetings, consecutive meetings, you're no longer...
It's not automatic, though. The last thing I was told is that we have to take a vote.
Yeah, okay. Well, who is the person that...
He was a...
We have a name?
He's a big, heavy fellow. Was an ex-police officer.
Bob Downey.
Bob Downey.
Yeah.
But I'm confused because didn't the mayor add another appointment just recently to this body?
Yeah.
After David? Somebody else?
I thought they
appointed. I think when they were advertising open positions for the Public Safety Advisory Board, there was only one.
Only one applicant.
The one that filled. And just looking at the code here, it says that we need to have a vote recommend the city council that position be
vacated.
Yeah.
But didn't you tell me about somebody who had been appointed? Somebody told me.
Obviously, we haven't voted on that issue.
Yeah.
Is there a motion
to
that effect?
I would so move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Could we...
Is there a discussion?
Could we word the motion in such a way as if Bob Downey is still on the board in light of his not having attended any meetings that we can remember last year, that we, disappoint him or something like that. I guess I'm trying to hedge in case that has already been taken care of.
Well, we would have taken care of it and we haven't.
Did we know how long his term was for? I mean, it could have been a 1-year appointment that expired for all.
It wouldn't have made any difference.
It sounds as if we need to make a vote on it. So the issue would be, do we as a board vote to remove Robert, was it?
Bob Downey from
the roster.
From the roster due to his failure to meet minimum attendance requirements.
Does that sound good?
I'll re-second if that's what you intended to say. That's right. Okay.
I said that.
Any further discussion?
One point that, by the way, I do have a list here, and it does show 7 people appointed.
Does it say who they are?
Yeah. Bob Downing, Christine Steele, Chuck Bowman, Dave Baker, Thomas Friedland, Grant Oaks, Dennis Ritchie.
Okay.
So
he's still on the...
He's still listed on the...
Okay.
Now, a year or so ago, the city council, we used to have each advisory board had their own rules, like the planning commission had their rules, police department And then back during the red tape code things that went through, there was one that just said, okay, everybody obeys the same rules as the city council. And unfortunately, the rule, I mean, sometimes that doesn't really make sense because, you know, they're elected and right. It just didn't line up. It was just sort of a sweeping change. And so I'm not sure how the rules that you had before align with the city council rules. I mean, for instance, I don't know if there's a city council rule that says if you miss so many meetings, you vacate your position or you're voted off. I don't think that happens on the city council.
But the city says not. Well, there's like a non-performance of duty that says 3 inexcused absences are grounds for.
Okay. So
would it help to read that out loud so everyone can?
Okay, so this is saying you vote to tell the city council, to recommend to the city council that they do. Yep. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah.
So this is from Municipal Code 2.070. Sub 2, removal upon recommendation of citizen advisory group. The citizen advisory group may recommend removal of one of its members to the city council for misconduct or non-performance of duty in accordance with subsection 1 of this section. The city council shall act on a recommendation for removal of a member for misconduct or non-performance at the next convenient opportunity.
Any further discussion? Any changes? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion stands as approved. And we'll recommend to the city council.
And I would add to that recommendation that he has gotten all the notices that we have. He's on the email list. He's been on the email list, and he's got all the notices that we have. We haven't heard from him at all, so.
I don't know if that's even necessary, but.
Well.
It certainly doesn't hurt.
It's just to show that it's not for lack of communication on our end.
Our next item deals with elections of officers for our advisory
board. Back to how does that person going to be replaced then?
That'd be up to the city council.
Okay.
Yeah. The vacancy falls into their hands.
Okay.
They remove, they replace.
And what I imagine will happen is that we'll go back to the list of applicants that we have before.
Okay.
And if we have somebody there, we'll appoint from that. If not, we'll open it up and ask people.
Okay.
So, will one of us write a memo, or does our staff liaison do that, or how are we?
That usually the chair passes that along to the
recommendation
to the assistant city manager, the city manager, whatever, and that becomes part of the agenda item for city council, but. I don't know whether that's still the way it works.
So the chair will follow up.
I will follow up on
that. Yeah, I think
something.
You might be able to just notify Russ and ask him the best way to handle it.
Well, I'll check with,
see what the protocol is.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to distinguish between advisory boards that are part of the city council and the citizen part of the organization and the city staff, which is part of the city manager. I would think this would be more appropriate to take to the council and probably to Russ.
Yeah, we only make recommendations.
Make the recommendation to Russ.
Yes, but we have liaisons to forward that on.
Well, actually,
so
maybe I should.
And make sure we spell everything correctly.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, why don't if you want to draft it
mm-hmm.
or I could just take it verbally and, as a liaison.
I'll draft something tomorrow.
Before we have elections, though, I'd like to just address one thing that's been coming out, and Chuck has said several times, we are solely an advisory board, but back when I was chair, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, when we were looking at something for disaster preparedness for the city, I was at the end of the year audience by the city council, and they asked me at that point, if we would become an actively engaged committee. So we really are no longer just advisory. We are actively engaged as proponents of the...
We are carrying out
disaster
policies.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, that...
We probably and don't have the authority to do that.
That sort of ties into the new business that I asked to be put on the agenda, which was review goals. And it got kind of a response along the lines of advisory versus action. And, you know, with the caveat that our what we do, we serve at the pleasure of the city council, and any goal or activity that we take on should be in support of their goals. I think that's understood. I did notice this year, though, we got a sneak peek at the Citizen Advisory Board training that David, I, and Grant went to, that there's not a specific goal that says Public Safety Advisory Board will, you know, do this year. So I asked, and then David asked later in the meeting in slightly different language, how much authority do we have to give ourselves goals to do in support of general public safety? I'm not exactly remembering.
What you're saying too echoes what the municipal code says on this. And it says that citizen advisory groups are expected to suggest, support, and advance council goals and are encouraged to look for ways within scope of the group's responsibilities to do so. And if you look at the Public Safety Advisory Board mission statement, there's kind of two statements, and disaster preparedness is one major component of it, but there are other components that this advisory board has been tasked to deal with. And in the absence of direction from city council, it's my understanding that we do have a little bit of latitude to be working on things that fall under the general public safety umbrella, but are, you know, things that city council would support.
So thank you for stepping in. I had actually printed out too probably the same thing about citizen advisory group duties and responsibilities. So I think that's important for us to agree on, because otherwise it almost seems like if we haven't been told to row, we're just going to sit in the boat and drift. And I don't want to do that. I'm sure the city council's goals will be fleshed out and shared in the next, few weeks. But assuming there's not going to be a specific mention of Map Your Neighborhood like there was last year, I do think that we need to have our own goals. And the chair can interact with the liaison or the whole committee can interact with the liaison and make sure that we're on track and that we're not going rogue. But I do think that we should plan to be active and come up with ideas and pursue Map Your Neighborhood and do all we can to in pursuit of public safety.
So the only thing we have to do is we have to confirm to the city council that we should continue implementing this program in the community.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, if it removes any, from my perspective, I'd always rather have you asking forgiveness than permission.
Right.
I'm delighted to see initiative, and because, you guys are going to know the issues. You're much better than the city council is. So we're relying on that knowledge. And if you look as an example, Parks and Rec, while there's direction coming from the staff side of things, there's still a lot of initiative in Parks and Rec that never comes down from city council. But the key is communication. So, if you were to sit down and come up with what you wanted to accomplish this year and be very specific about it, to the extent that you're comfortable doing that, and then just bring that to city council. this is what we want to do. Any, you know, any changes or any problems with it? I mean, that's the way I've always conducted myself in business.
Right.
This is what, if I don't hear from you, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And I always get to do 90% of what I want. It, you know, it.
Yeah, I agree.
And so just take that initiative and go. And not only will you be able to do the things that you want to do, but you'll probably get a lot more support because, well, this group's got it together. You know, whereas this group's drifting. So I would much rather have that.
Yeah. I suggest no code amendments for sport courts.
Why?
Weren't you on planning commission when we did kind of go rogue and do that sport board?
I wouldn't call it going rogue.
City council, I think they expressly said don't do that, and we did it anyway on our own time. We figured.
Well, I think there were a couple of things that where we saw a need and went ahead and worked on it.
Enacted.
Well, there was the very code revision, there was PUD code, there was that, two out of the three, you know,
okay.
So yeah, please, if you have an idea what you want to do, take that responsibility to do it, and I'll make sure it gets communicated, and if there is any problems, if it conflicts with something somebody else is doing, we'll identify that. Our biggest responsibility, though, is to communicate.
So you've heard where we're trying to go tonight, and you have that, and you can take.
Well, certainly, the discussion about moving forward with the emergency preparedness, and beyond that, it makes sense.
And I, that is something that I think could be classed as ongoing. Yeah. I mean, that's not a new program, and I don't think we need to get permission or even have the discussion. In my point of view. Can we continue with Map Your Neighborhood? I think there is an expectation that we would do that.
You could be even specific to say that we want to reach this percentage of the population. Mm-hmm. With, we want to bucket this many hands, this many homes.
And that was in our 2016 goals. Continue to promote Map Your Neighborhood with the local Lincoln Corporation of the Starter Pit, so on and so forth.
But I mean, even qualify it to say, this is our goal, is to get, we know we're at 20%, now we want to get to 40% by the end of the year, or something like that. Because if you quantify it like that, you've just built a strong case for asking for resources.
Okay. With the new year, we need to select new officers for our board. Chuck has said that his commitments and time is such that he cannot continue as chair. Generally, we've had a chair and a vice chair, at least in the time that I've been on the board. Chuck had asked me if I was interested in serving in the chair. I certainly am amenable to that, but we'll open it up to anyone who wants to make a suggestion or nomination.
Well, I would nominate you for chairman of our board, or president, or whatever the title is.
Thank you.
I would nominate Christine because and it's not a personal thing at all. It's the majority of our time is spent with Map Your Neighborhood. And four of us have been very involved with it. The two newcomers got involved with it right away before they ever became part of this board. And the only person that hasn't done anything, Thomas, is you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I feel if we are going to be concentrating on that, we need to have a chair who's actively involved in that, in our chief goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm nominating Christine.
Okay.
I guess we need seconds to the two nominations.
Second nomination.
I don't know. Yes,
do no. You vote on them.
We don't need second.
Okay.
No, okay.
You vote on nomination.
Well, right.
If you do it like unanimously, you need a second.
And I'm not sure how we should do the voting on this, but given that there are five of us here, it's going to be quite obvious whatever our vote is. So, favor of Christine to serve as chair?
I'll vote for myself.
And in favor of Tom? Well, Christine is chair.
Okay.
We need to pick vice chair because it's entirely possible that somebody can't make it. So I would nominate Thomas as vice chair, actually.
Second.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Discussion.
You're willing to serve?
And I will serve as vice chair.
Okay.
I've done it for the last year.
Thank you.
You getting good at it?
With that, is there, we'll take a vote in favor? Opposed? No. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Well, the review goals, we talked a little bit about it. Should we just kind of summarize where we're going for 2016? And also, I had a potential item that perhaps we could look at this year in addition to disaster preparedness. And this item has to do with teen safety with driving. The past few years, we've had some unfortunate instances of our, some of our young kids dying. And it's my understanding that incoming class of freshmen at Westland High School is going to be the largest in history, and in a few years they're going to be driving. It'd be nice if we could do something kind of ahead of that, kind of similar to what we're doing with Map Your Neighborhood in terms of outreach and education. And maybe it doesn't have to be as big as what we're doing with Map Your Neighborhood, but just doing a little something to be putting attention on, you know, safe driving behind the wheel for our young folks.
There's a program that's been around for a number of years. It's called Teen Survival,
right?
Teen Street Survival. They do it out of PIR, and they come to Portland about twice a year, October and March. And students enroll in this class. They go out in their own vehicle, or the vehicle they're going to be driving, and they have both a classroom and a behind-the-wheel portion, which is designed beyond just basic driver ed to put them in hazardous conditions and how to recover from it. They set up a skid pan. They set up a variety of driving obstacles for them. It's around $75 to $80 per child per kid. My daughter went through it several times. She did it just before she took her behind-the-wheel driving test, and it was a very good confidence builder, but at the same time provided with a lot of safety skills. I know they have a hard time sometimes promoting it, but I do know the local contact, and we can certainly see if that's something we want to make information available to the students.
You know, for our next meeting, maybe what we need to do is invite the police officer that's assigned to the high school, and maybe he can give us some feedback on this. On what's already being done, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, we can have. I can ask to see if we can get Officer Munchie in here.
Okay. There's a program that's utilized around town. My son-in-law is a trainer with AMR, and they put on that simulation of the high schools.
The skid event.
Yeah, where they do that, and he said that's probably the most effective thing he's seen in terms of communicating to the kids.
Yeah, this year, what are we in, 2016?
Yeah.
Right? So I think this, I brought SKID to the high school in 2012, 14 was Blaine, so 16, I don't know, I don't supervise the SRO anymore, but I'll find out. SKID should have been come back this year. It should be back. They do it every 2 years. They try and capture the classes and stuff like that. So, I'll have a better answer for you on at the next meeting as to whether or not SKID's coming back. I'll see if I can't get Bunchy to come in and just kind of give us a brief little update on what kind of stuff's done there. And then if I can recommend too is involve the kids in creating the content for the messaging. Because you and I can sit here and tell them all we want to or blow our face, but the reality is that they're the ones that are losing their friends.
Yeah.
and they're the ones that can create the most dynamic content. And for them, it's going to be social media related. You're not going to be able to get them to go to a website and click around. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to send them an email with messaging. They're going to get everything through Twitter right now. So that's I would say if you can hit the leadership program up and hit their, the school has a pretty decent media lab, and I would try and incorporate those two things and get them involved, maybe even have a representative from the Westland High School leadership come and kind of pitch to them our idea and make it so that they feel like it's their idea and they're grasping it, and let them run with it, and we just support them in that message. That'd be kind of where I would go, because I've created content up at the high school when I was there. And it was 10% stuck.
You know, I think it's a big mistake if you just look at juniors and seniors that are driving.
No, you got to start in middle school. The content really needs to be directed towards
most
eighth
of the kids
grade.
That get hurt in these accidents aren't the drivers.
Right.
It's the passengers.
But if you start your message early, and I found this when I was up there, that I started doing a lot more outreach to the 7th and 8th grade classes. Right. And you can follow the trend. It went down. The number of kind of stupid little incidents and stuff like that, once they got to freshman, sophomore, junior year, kind of went down. We didn't have as many issues because there was an expectation level and a lot of content that was created around by juniors and seniors and sophomores that was directed towards those kids. So it was kind of a nice little flush circle out. I didn't stay in it long enough, unfortunately, to see it all the way through, but it was nice to see that level of involvement. And there are kids there at the high school who want to get involved in that stuff. So I would just say, let's get them here and get them involved and push them off and support their, give them a little bit of guidelines. Here's what we want, and we support it.
So we're inviting kids from the Westland Leadership Program and the officer who's...
Well, I'm going to have Bunchy out here. I don't know.
Bunchy?
But I call him home. Officer Bunch.
Officer Bunch.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's his beat.
Yeah, he is the SRO.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're following up with inviting them to our next meeting?
I'm going
to
invite Bunch. But I think let's you know.
Start with this.
Well, let's start with Bunch them. And then let, because
okay.
Bunch has all the contacts. I don't even know right now. It's not the same class. You know, it's none of the kids there even know who I am. So.
Okay.
We like it that way.
So we'll brainstorm with him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a really good group of kids right now at the high school. I've got a friendship with the quarterback. Might be able to use him. Gosh, they're so amazing over there. They have their own like film department.
Yep.
I mean, like you said, they could really pick up this ball and roll with it if we kind of encourage and guide them, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, you can get some of their peer heroes that they're paying attention. That's good.
Is there like money for scholarships to that SCID program? Didn't have $80.
Oh, the
Street Survival. I'll bring in some information next month. I had a DVD that they put together. I don't know if I still have it. I will have to look and see. But I've got some of the brochures, their latest flyer. I try and make it available to the kids that come through my office for sports physicals. And I think the program is great. If my daughter's willing, I'll drag her in here and she can tell you what she experienced with it.
And just for clarification, the SCID program is put on by TVFNR. It's totally different than this.
Okay.
It's not a driving class. Mm-hmm. Like
that. Is that the simulation of like?
Yeah,
crash?
We do a crash. They bring in LifeLight.
Right.
They LifeLight somebody out. There usually involves alcohol, so they do a simulated testing and arrests and kind of walk through everything. It's very eye opening.
Yeah.
So what's the thing in PIR?
PIR is Teen Street Survival.
Oh, that's the
I'm not sure if their website is
streetsurvival.org.
Yep, right on the track.
Catch them out there, yeah. Earl said that that's just remarkable to watch from their point, putting on that program, watching the reaction in the stands when that first comes together.
Yeah. And when they have revealed.
And then they call out the first one, we've got a dead one.
Oh, yeah.
Every time that happened, the girls that live next door to me couldn't wait to come over and tell me about it.
Yeah.
Really made a positive
difference. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything else? Then I guess we stand adjourned.
Thank you. And Bob, thank you for coming.
No, thank you. Welcome me in. I look forward to it.
Anytime.
Anybody wants to look at the buckets?